Crowd in here today. I'll invite you all to come have a seat and join us for our worship service. Before we begin formally, though, we're going to do some announcements. Our church is a busy place, and there are many important events and items to take note of in your bulletin. Please make sure to read them, but there are a few that I've been asked to highlight, and Phil has asked to highlight one as well. The youth are inviting everyone to participate in two events this week. First, Wednesday evening, there will be an Ash Wednesday service here at the church at 7 p.m. The youth are leading this and invite everyone to join them. Second, our Borscht Lunch fundraiser is back on Sunday, February 14th. That's next week. Join us downstairs immediately after the service. All proceeds from the lunch are going to go to helping the kids get to Saskatoon for the MC Canada Assembly in July. And there will be some dietary issues addressed and options for you if you need it. Phil?
Good morning. I just wanted to say a big thank you to everyone who came to the pancake breakfast yesterday. It was a good time had by all, and we made $1,172 and some change, 85 cents. So it was a very, very good very good turnout and good meal. So thank you for everyone who came and who helped and all that. So thanks.
No one else has asked me to highlight anything. Again, make sure you read your bulletins. Join us as we move into our worship service.
Good morning. Please stand as you are able and sing with us Holy Lord, found on, I think, the third page of your bulletin.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth of your glory are full. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth of your glory are full. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Again, in your bulletins, please turn to the call to worship and join us as we read. The heavens keep telling the wonders of God,
and the skies declaring what he has done.
Each day informs the following day.
Each night announces to the next.
They don't speak a word,
and there is never the sound of a voice.
Yet their message reaches all the earth,
and it travels around the world.
In the heavens, a tent is set up for the sun.
It rises like a bridegroom and gets ready like a hero eager to run a race.
It travels
all the way across the sky.
Nothing hides from its seat. The law of the Lord is perfect.
It gives us new life.
The Lord's instruction is right.
It makes our hearts glad.
His commands shine brightly and give us light.
Worshipping the Lord is sacred.
He will always be worshipped.
All of his servants are correct and fair.
They're worth more than the finest gold,
and are sweeter than the honey from a honeycomb.
By your teaching, Lord,
we are warmed.
None of us know all our faults.
Forgive me when I sin without knowing it.
Don't let us do wrong on purpose, Lord, or let sin have control over our lives.
Then we will be innocent and not guilty of some terrible fault.
Let our words and our thoughts be pleasing to you, Lord.
Because you are our rock and our redeemer.
Let us bow for prayer. The sky does it simply, naturally, day by day by day. The sun does it joyfully like someone in love. Like a runner on the starting line. The sky, the sun, they just can't help themselves. No loud voices, no grand speeches, but everyone sees and is happy with them.
Make us like that, Lord, so that our faith is not in our words, but in our lives, not in what we say, but in who we are, passing on your love like an infectious laugh, not worried, not threatening, just shining like the sun, like a starry night, like a lamp on a stand, light for life, your light for our lives.
Amen.
Again, please stand as you are able and join us in singing Will You Come and Follow Me, which is in the bulletin.
Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Will you love the you you hide if I but call your name? Will you quell the fear inside and never be the same? Will you use the faith you found to reshape the world around? Through my sight and touch and sound in you and you in me. Lord, your summons echoes true when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you and you in me. Will you leave yourself behind if I but call your name? Will you care for cruel and kind and never be the same? Will you risk the hostile stare should your life attract or scare? Will you let me answer prayer in you and you in me? Will you let the blinded see if I but call your name? Will you set the prisoners free and never be the same? Will you kiss the leper clean and do such as this unseen and admit to what I mean in you and you in me?
If the children could come down for the children's story. So how many of you guys like Lego? Figured it was a bit of a silly question. I really like Lego too. In fact, I brought one of my Lego models here. And this would be really hard to put together if I didn't have any instructions for it. Like, if I were to just get a pile of bricks, I wouldn't really be able to figure out how these all go together and make it perfect like this. But with the instructions, it's pretty easy to do. And these bricks also wouldn't stick together. Like, if I were to just put them next to each other, they wouldn't go. But I have to stick them together with each other, and now it's a pretty solid thing.
So that's kind of like how we are at church. We have to stick together. And that's what the community is us sticking together. We all go together right, and at the end of the day, everything fits right. And the instructions are kind of like the Bible. Everything in there teaches us how to be the way that God wants us to be. And we can be like God as long as we're following the instructions in the Bible.
So now we're going to do a bit of a prayer, so let's all bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus so that we can know what we're supposed to look like, and thank you for sending the Bible so that we can have some instructions on how to act, and thank you for giving us community so that we can stick together and be the body of Christ. Amen. So now, are you going down to Sunday school? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, so go down to Sunday school.
Class.
Except for Phil's class.
As the boys have noticed, our church family shares the burdens of each other's joys and pains as well. If you have something you wish to share with the congregation, I'm going to get Ben to bring the mic around, or you can come to the front.
Leonora Weeb, last Sunday I shared with you that our nephew Dennis was going in for heart surgery again, and yesterday he went home, back to Gnadenfeld. The heart surgery went very well. They had the heart-lung machine standing by. He didn't need it. He didn't even need a blood transfusion. What they had found was when they removed the pericardium that there was a fibrous growth on his new heart, and that was removed, and he is doing well. So I thank you for your prayers. And what I would also like to share with you is that my Aunt Susie's husband, that's my father's youngest sister, she's the only one left in the Fast family, and Uncle Bruce passed away during the night, and they live in St. Louis.
Gary Hebert sent a very short email saying that the surgery had gone well, and so we look forward to him recuperating now. So keep on praying. As he said, keep the prayers rolling.
Since I'm up here, I'll share with you. A while ago, I mentioned that my grandfather had an inoperable brain tumor. We were fortunate enough to be able to travel to Edmonton and spend some time with family this past week. He is doing very well and is being slowly weaned off of steroids, and things are being managed at the moment. So we're hopeful that he has a long road ahead of him with very little complications. If there are no others, I'd ask you, as recognition of the things that have been shared and those that have not, please turn to the people around you and pass the peace. A phrase you might use is, peace be with you. And if you would join me in prayer one more time. God, your glory fills the heavens, and all that you have made bears your mark. We pray for this creation. We ask forgiveness for the ways in which we have disfigured it. We pray for those who cannot enjoy it, the warm sun or the cool night. Those who are imprisoned or alone. Those who are ill or infirm. Those who mourn. Use all of us, our hearts, our hands, our voices, to bring you your wondrous power into their lives. Let us glorify you, O God. Let your hymn resound in our lives. God, your perfect law protects and revives us, and your way enlightens and enlivens us. We pray for all the peoples of this world, people hungry for order and safety, warmth and shelter, those who lead our nations, cities and towns, and all those in between and around. Help us unearth this treasure of justice and equality and bring it to all the world. Let us glorify you, O God. Let your hymn resound in our lives. God, who brings the true sweetness, the true riches of life to those who serve you, who gathers, protects, and preserves us. We pray for your holy church. Keep us blameless and innocent. Cleanse our faults. Increase our faith. Inspire our work and witness in your name. Let us glorify you, O God. Let your hymn resound in our lives. Hear these and all our prayers, great God. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
We will now sing the offering song, which is found in your blue hymn book, number 545, Be Thou My Vision.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping. sword for the fight. Be thou my dignity, thou my delight, thou my soul's shelter, thou my high tower. Raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power. Riches I heed not, nor mine empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and the only first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, when victory is won, may I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
So at this point in your bulletin, you might notice a bit of an oddity. It says sermons/hymn. For a bit of an explanation, what we're doing this week is the sermon is going to be on a hymn that we're going to sing, and we are going to sing a verse, and then one of us will come up and speak to that one verse, then we'll sing the next verse, etc., throughout the song, and then we'll sing it all together again at the end of the last sermon. So they will sing through each verse individually. You can join in if you'd like, and then we'll join together at the end to sing together.
The song is Jesus Christ is Waiting. It's found in your bulletin. For the verses that we do in between the little sermonettes, we will be doing different styles for each verse, so feel free to join in as you're able. And when we sing the whole song through at the end, we will be doing it in the style of the first verse.
Jesus Christ is waiting, waiting in the streets. No one is his neighbor, all alone he eats. Listen, Lord Jesus, I am lonely too.
As I have privilege of going first in this series of mini-sermons, I will take a moment to explain the song as a whole. So the song as a whole talks about some of the different aspects of who Jesus is and who we are called to be and who we will end up being by following him. Now this first verse talks about two different things. Firstly, it talks about waiting, how Jesus is waiting in the streets. At first glance, this seems to be a very passive thing that Jesus is doing. However, upon thinking about it for a little bit, I decided to actually look up in the dictionary what the definition of waiting was. And hearing it, it made what that meant more obvious. So, Merriam-Webster defines waiting as remaining in a state in which you expect or hope that something will happen soon. So Jesus isn't just sitting around in the streets doing nothing, killing time until something happens. What he's doing is he's actively anticipating us coming to him. Secondly, this verse talks about loneliness and how we can be lonely and that Jesus is also lonely. At first, this might seem like a bit of a strange thing to say about Jesus. I mean, when would Jesus ever really have time to be lonely? The only time you ever hear of him being alone is when he's in the wilderness for 40 days. Other than that, he seems practically unable to escape from a crowd. Despite this, Jesus is able to feel the very human emotion of loneliness. For me, the prime example of this is when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane with a couple of his disciples. Here's that account from Mark. Mark 14, 32-42. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if it is possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough! The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." So even then, even when Jesus was in his hardest, one of his greatest moments of need, he was completely alone, even though he had his friends with him. In that garden, he knew he was coming, but it must have felt to him like everyone that he accounts a friend had abandoned him. Yet he still trusts in God, like this verse of the song suggests, and is made fit to serve God. May we also be made fit to serve God when we are feeling so lonely.
Jesus Christ is raging, raging in the streets, where injustice spirals and real hope retreats. Listen, Lord Jesus, I am angry too. In the kingdom's causes, let me rage with you.
So, I'm up here obviously to talk about anger and rage. And we have plenty of examples of Jesus getting angry throughout the Bible. There is the casting out of money changers from the temple for doing business within its walls. There's the example where he challenged the Pharisees over what's more important, doing good or keeping the Sabbath. And when Jesus gets angry or frustrated, we tend to see that it happens when people do things which illustrate that they have not yet seen what the kingdom of God is. So when that happens, he essentially seems to use his anger as a sort of catalyst that highlights where the kingdom of God is needed most. So when we consider ourselves how we do that, I think we already have a pretty good idea. When we see things like the Syrian refugee crisis and in our anger and frustration ask, how can we respond? We clearly already know how anger can be used as a motivator, especially considering when in the process of figuring out how to respond to that, we find something else to be frustrated by and further clarify how we're responding by deciding to sponsor 2 Syrian males instead of a family. It's just fantastic. In my own life, I have bullying to thank for my anger, which may sound a bit strange, being thankful of bullying, but just bear with me for a second. Camp Elam is a place that is near and dear to my heart, but as a child, I hated it. It was the camp that I was sent to and bullied at. Yet I've spent over 7 years of my life working there, so some might wonder how that came about. Well, in high school, a friend of mine asked if I would come volunteer with him out at camp with him. Instantly, I thought, no, that's a terrible idea. Why would I ever do that? He tried to reassure me, and I reluctantly eventually decided, yeah, okay, I'll give it a try. The reason I eventually decided to go was because I started to think about my own experiences at camp and what it could have been like were there a staff there that understood what I was going through. So I went in hopes that I could be that someone to someone else in need. and this drive to take these negative experiences and use them to bring positive ones to those around me is something that has stuck with me ever since. My passion for youth work came out of feeling like a bit of an outcast in high school and my own youth group back home, and sparked a desire to create spaces where everyone could feel welcome. All the work I do with people with special needs came from me personally blaming my ADHD for the reason that I was bullied and the reason that I didn't think anyone understood me, and sparked the desire to want to help others who are trying to deal with their own disabilities in their own ways. So it's because of experiences like these that I truly am thankful for the anger I've experienced in the past. It has highlighted where the joy that I have to give is needed most, and more importantly, where the kingdom of God is needed most. So with that, let me leave you with this blessing. It's one of my favorite blessings that I think encapsulates this sort of where anger is best exemplified in our Christian lives. It's a Franciscan blessing. It goes, "May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and to turn their pain into joy. May God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in this world, so that you can do what others claim cannot be done."
We will now sing verse 3 of Jesus Christ is Waiting.
Jesus Christ is healing, healing in the streets, curing those who suffer, touching those he greets. Listen, Lord Jesus, I have pity too. Let my care be active, healing just like you.
All right, so I'm going to be talking about healing. And Jesus is waiting to heal all of us, and we can feel his healing through a physical way and an emotional way. Jesus' healing can be shown through the hands of a surgeon performing a life-saving operation, or the wisdom of a doctor who knows what medicine to give us to make us healthy again. But the most incredible and important way that we experience healing is through forgiveness. The Bible tells us of how Jesus readily forgives strangers that he meets without caring about their past and without knowing their story. We hear stories in the Bible of Jesus extending forgiveness to others and them being more thankful and loving themselves, like the sinful woman who Jesus meets in the Pharisee's home in the book of Luke. Sometimes we feel like we don't deserve forgiveness. Sometimes we're nervous about what people will think if we tell them about our mistakes. Sometimes that makes us self-conscious or insecure. We get mad at ourselves for our mistakes, and we struggle, and we suffer, and sometimes we even wonder if we deserve forgiveness. We get anxious, but everyone in the world has made mistakes. If we surrender ourselves to God, we are surrounded by his love and his forgiveness. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Because he hears our prayers, and he walks with us to a place where we can love ourselves. It's there that we realize that we can be loved, flaws included. When we experience this total love, we can show that love to others. We can both extend and receive forgiveness from the people in our lives, our loved ones, our friends, and our community. We realize that our flaws aren't what make us who we are. The great thing about being a Christian is that we aren't condemned for falling short of perfection. Because Jesus looks beyond that. He doesn't see our flaws. He sees a son or a daughter. When we open up every dark corner of ourselves, God's love can shine through, and we are able to experience the ultimate love. Jesus is waiting, and Jesus is anxious to throw his arms around us. We feel God's love and forgiveness, and we become more loving and forgiving. And with all our hearts open to God and those we love, our hearts will be guarded, because we know that we can find forgiveness in the places and the people that we know. In God's forgiveness, we find healing. In God's forgiveness, we find peace. Jesus isn't waiting to forgive us because he's already forgiven all of us. He's waiting for us to forgive ourselves, and that can be very difficult. But God is there for us with open arms, telling us that our mistakes are ours, and we are forgiven in his eyes for all eternity through his son, Jesus.
We'll now sing verse number 4.
Jesus Christ is dancing, dancing in the streets, where each sign of hatred he with love defeats. Listen, Lord Jesus, I should triumph too.
The foundational calling of the church, the foundational calling of all of us here, is to be the body of Christ in the world. So for us to do this, we need to work at identifying the aspects of Jesus' life and ministry that we as a body can show. I think this is what the songwriter is trying to do here. If in this case, I need to wonder, what are we seeing when we say Jesus Christ is dancing? Now, don't worry, I'm not going to spend my entire time up here justifying dancing. I'm far too Mennonite to do that. And besides, I'm pretty sure Kevin Bacon has already done it. What I think the songwriter is trying to do is comment on the joy of Christ and how in the wake of Jesus' love, he conquers hate. I'm going to be honest with you. When I started writing this sermonette, I was hoping to find a perfect verse that just went, such and such happens, Jesus felt joy, done, I'm done, sermonette's finished, great job, Ryan. What I found, though, is that the joy that Jesus experienced and shows is far more nuanced. When Jesus comes, we experience joy and we see joy in the disciples and the crowds and what they experience in Jesus' loving wake. I'd like to look at Luke 13, verses 10 to 17, paying close attention to the last verse. What we see is Jesus going on the Sabbath to teach at the synagogue. A woman who is crippled approaches him, and an act of love, Jesus heals the woman. The religious leaders are very offended by this. Of course, he can't do that. What happens next, I think, is what the songwriter is truly talking about here. Jesus reverses the comments by the Pharisees and takes an injustice that would see an evil sustained in the world and turns it into an act of love. And what follows is joy. After Jesus condemns the Pharisees for trying to stop him healing the woman, we can read, and this is verse 17, when he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. I think this last verse is what we are called to do. We need to act against the hate in this world with love, and so that we, the people, Jesus, and the crowds can all dance in the street with joy.
We'll now sing verse 5.
Jesus Christ is calling, calling in the streets. Who will join my journey? I will guide their feet. Listen, Lord Jesus, let my fears be few. Walk one step before me, I will follow you.
A couple of weeks ago, I came in on a Thursday night, to take CPR training. And I received a certificate that says I can save your life. One of the things that we were taught is that if we do respond to a situation, well, we administer first aid, we would need to get someone else to call 911. But instead of yelling for help and hoping that somebody, anybody responds, we are supposed to say, hey, you, in the black jacket with the blue shirt and blue tie, call 911. By identifying a single person, they automatically take on the responsibility. This is because of a concept called diffusion of responsibility, which states that the more people who are given a task, the less responsibility each person would take to complete it. such as a group project at school. If you are beat up, lying on the corner of a portage in Maine and crying for help with your last breaths, the fact that there are so many people walking by means that everybody is going to assume that someone, anyone, is going to help. And when everyone assumes that someone is going to help, nobody does. Instead, it is important to single individuals out and give them personal responsibility. Jesus Christ is calling. As Jesus Christ rates, rages, heals, and dances, Jesus Christ is singling out individuals and calling them to join him on his journey. He is looking at the quilters and saying, "Come with me, and I will guide your needles." He is looking at the musicians and saying, "Come with me, and I will tune your hearts to the people." He is looking at information technology professionals and saying, "Come with me, and I will connect you to your neighbors." Jesus Christ is looking at each one of us, singling us out and saying to each one of us, "Come with me." Jesus is calling us to join him. What does he want you to do?
Please stand as you are able, and we will sing the entire song, "Jesus Christ is Waiting."
Jesus Christ is waiting, waiting in the streets. No one is his neighbor, all alone he eats. Listen, Lord Jesus, I am lonely too. Make me friend or stranger, fit to wait on you. Jesus Christ is raging, raging in the streets, where injustice spirals and real hope retreats. Listen, Lord Jesus, I am angry too. In thy kingdom's causes, let me rage with you. Jesus Christ is healing, healing in the streets, curing those who suffer, touching those he greets. Listen, Lord Jesus, I have pity too. Let my care be active, healing just like you. Jesus Christ is dancing, dancing in the streets, where each sign of hatred he with love defeats. Listen, Lord Jesus, I should triumph too. Where good conquers evil, let me dance with you. Jesus Christ is calling, calling in the streets. Who will join my journey? I will guide their feet. Listen, Lord Jesus, let my tears be few. Walk one step before me, I will follow you.
Please join me in praying the Lord's Prayer in whichever language you are most comfortable in. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I will be reading from Matthew 4, 18-22. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him.
We will now sing, Lord, You Have Come to the Lakeshore, which is number 229 in your blue hymnal. And we will sing all four verses in English.
Lord, You have come to the lakeshore, looking neither for wealthy nor wise ones. You only asked me to follow humbly. Oh, Lord, with Your eyes You have searched me, kindly smiling, have spoken my name. Now my boat's left on the shoreline behind me, by Your side I will seek other seas. You know so well my possessions. My boat carries no gold and no weapons, but nets and fishes, my daily labor. Oh, Lord, with Your eyes You have searched me, kindly smiling, have spoken my name. Now my boat's left on the shoreline behind me, by Your side I will seek other seas. You need my hands full of caring, through my labors to give others rest, and constant love that keeps on loving. Oh, Lord, with Your eyes You have searched me, kindly smiling, have spoken my name. Now my boat's left on the shoreline behind me, by Your side I will seek other seas. You who have fished other oceans, ever longed for by souls who are waiting, my loving friend, as thus You call me. Oh, Lord, with Your eyes You have searched me, kindly smiling, have spoken my name. Now my boat's left on the shoreline behind me, by Your side I will seek other seas. By Your side I will seek other seas.
Thank you all for joining us today. It's been a true blessing working with the young adults as we plan this service. Would you please stand for the benediction and remain standing for the last song? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
Our closing hymn is My Soul Cries Out, found in your bulletin. My soul cries out with a joyful shout that the God of my heart is great. And my spirit sings of the wondrous things that you bring to the ones who wait. You fixed your eyes on your servant's plight, and my weakness you did not spurn. So from east to west shall my name be blessed, for the world be about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn. Though I am small, my God, my all, you work great things in me. And your mercy will last from the depths of the past to the end of the age to be. Your very name puts the proud to shame, and to those who would for you yearn, you will show your might, put the strong to flight, for the world is about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn. From the halls of power to the fortress tower, not a stone will be left on stone. Let the king beware, for your justice tears every tyrant from his throne. The hungry poor shall weep no more for the food they can never earn. There are tables spread, every mouth be fed, for the world is about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn. Though the nations rage from age to age, we remember who holds us fast. God's mercy must deliver us from the conqueror's crushing grasp. This saving word that our forebears heard is the promise which holds us bound, till the spear and rod can be crushed by God, who is turning the world around. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn.